Good evening. Our passage this evening is from Psalm chapter 119, verses 9 through 16. Psalm 119, 9 through 16. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for instructions on how to live that we can find in your word. We thank you that you have given us the opportunity to learn this evening from your word. I pray that you will help us to trust in you, to delight in you, to delight in your word. We pray that you'll draw us close to you, that we might love and honor you above all things. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Think about your life. Think about your loves, think about your fears, think about your emotions, the people you're close to, think about your struggles, think about your successes. How much of your personal life like that do you share with the world? Are you on intimate terms with thousands of people? Probably not. Most of us don't want to share the intimate details of our lives with the world. You might not want to share your personal details, but social media has made it incredibly easy to share, hasn't it? And of course, there are a few people who really enjoy sharing everything about themselves with the world. I think probably even more people accidentally share things about themselves. What does this button actually do when you click on it? Where does that go? And of course, a few people love to spread information about other people's personal lives. But most of us are at best uneasy with the idea of other people knowing all about us and knowing us through and through in that kind of a way. We don't want people to know things like our medical history, our bad habits, our failures. We don't want to share the parts of our lives that make us look bad. You probably are not going to be putting how many speeding tickets you've had on your resume, right? But there is one person that we can't hide anything from. There's one person who knows everything about us, all our secret fears and our desires, our embarrassments, our triumphs, our hang-ups, our pet peeves, and of course, this is God. Our passage today describes a life, describes a walk with God that has nothing to hide. The psalmist wants to honor God and all that he does, to delight in God, and never to depart from intimacy with him, with God. So from our passage, Psalm 119, 9 through 16, we're going to look at, the theme is going to be keeping your way pure. Keeping your way pure, and we're going to have three ways that we do that. We're going to look at what, how, and why. So keeping your way pure, what does keeping your way pure mean? How? What do you do to keep your way pure? And three, why? What motivates us to keep our way pure? So keeping your way pure, what, how, why. First, what it means to keep your way pure. Verse 9 asks, how can a young man keep his way pure? And the answer given is by guarding it according to your word. Guard your path according to God's word. That's what it looks like to keep your way pure. But first of all, who are we talking about? Who needs to keep their way pure? We all do. Women and men, boys and girls, all need to please God and keep their way pure. A young man, as it says in verse 9, might be especially susceptible to some kinds of impurity. But this passage is for all of us. We're all called to be pure. We can all pursue purity by guarding our path according to God's word. This passage uses a wide range of words to describe God's commands. Verses 9, 11, and 16 use a Hebrew word translated in English as word. This describes the whole word of God, the scriptures as a whole. In verse 10, we see the word commandments. In verses 12 and 16, we see statutes. In verse 13, we see rules. And in 15, we see precepts, all these different words. Like their English translations, these words cover a wide range of instructions for pure or righteous or godly living. In verse 14, we have another word, testimonies. It can mean testimony or witness, but it also can refer to laws or legal provisions, similar to the other words. So what the psalmist is saying is that every sort of command or law of God is useful in keeping one's way pure. Obeying God and keeping his commands is needed to keep your way pure. It's been said that the Inuit or Eskimo languages from the Arctic have 50 to 100 words describing distinct snow and ice conditions. And I actually looked that up, and that's the number I got. I had heard that in my childhood, and yep, there it is. All those words help them to distinguish between various hazards and opportunities that you might have in the Arctic. And all those different words help them to communicate to other people what they might find up ahead, what conditions they're going to be experiencing. And the ability to describe ice so well is essential for survival in the Arctic. The Inuit language is finely tuned to communicate these conditions, these ice conditions. For the psalmist, the shades of meaning behind the words for rules and laws are really even more significant than that. Being in a right relationship with the Creator and the Lord of the universe is more important than mere survival. The psalmist is finely tuned to the meaning of each of these terms because he's finely tuned to understand God and his law. So, point of application, how about you? Do you treasure the very words of God? Does pleasing God please you? Are you finely tuned to know what God loves and how to please him? Let's pray that God would give us the ability to delight in himself. So that was our first point. That was the what. What does it mean to keep your way pure? So our second point is how. How do you keep your way pure? What else does the psalmist tell us about righteous living? What else can you do to live a pure life? Or how does the psalmist guard his way according to God's word? In verse 11, it says he stores up God's word in his heart. He memorizes scripture. In verse 13, he declares all the rules of God's mouth. So he doesn't just memorize God's word, he talks about it with others. Maybe he teaches it to others or helps others to interpret God's word. In verse 15, he meditates on God's precepts. And in verse 16, he won't forget God's word. He knows the scripture and the commands so well that he commits to never forget them. So he memorizes scripture, he talks about scripture, he meditates on scripture. He will not forget what scripture says. He's made a commitment to do these things. He knows God's word. We need to know his word if we want to know how to please him. Verse 10 says to God, "Let me not wander from your commandments." Verse 12 asks God to teach me your statutes. These are requests of God. These are prayers. The psalmist prays and asks God to strengthen him and teach him so he will not fail to obey God. Prayer taps into the infinite resources and power of God so that we can please him and please him with the way that we live our lives. The psalmist also makes a commitment or a promise to God. Look at verse 15. He says that he will meditate on God's precepts and fix his eyes on God's ways. He dedicates himself to obeying God. Such dedication can be a powerful motivation for persisting in doing the right thing. How do we keep our way pure? What do we learn from this psalm? We must learn what Scripture teaches so that we can obey it. We should pray. We can ask God to teach us his statutes, and we can pray that he will keep us from wandering. Once again, some application. How about you? How important to you is it that you follow God's commands? Do you store up God's words in your heart that you might not sin against him, like verse 11 says? Do you pray for God's strength to keep yourself from wandering? Okay, so once again, we're looking at keeping our way pure. We've asked, what does it mean to keep our way pure, and how do we keep our way pure? And now we're going to ask why. Why do we keep our way pure? In verse 10, the psalmist says, "With my whole heart, I seek you." In verse 14, he declares, "In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches." And in verse 16, he says, "I will delight in your statutes." So it's a heart issue. It's a matter of who or what we delight in. Why should we want to keep our way pure? Because we delight in God's statutes and in his testimonies, and we seek him with all of our heart. In 1 John, John says, "I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything, and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him." Here, John tells Christians that their greatest protection against those who are trying to deceive you is to abide in Jesus, to hold fast to him in the gospel. Like them, you and I should seek after Jesus with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. John and our psalmist both point in the same direction. Abiding with God, seeking him, delighting in him and his commands, this is the path that pleases God. Our commitment to God, delighting in him, trusting him, and obeying him, must be our highest priority. Anything else is idolatry, putting something finite as your goal, rather than the infinite and the perfect, which is God himself. Delight yourself in God. But no one seeks God with their whole heart all the time. Like verse 10 of the psalm says, no one always fulfills the intention of verse 11, that I might not sin against you. No one always delights in God's statutes, and no one can always say, I will not forget his word. Only Jesus, the Son of God, lived a life that fully pleased God. He fulfilled all God's words, commandments, statutes, rules, testimonies, and precepts. He lived a life of perfect obedience over his 30-something years of earth, and he died on the cross. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, Paul writes about Jesus on the cross. He says, God made him who had no sin, and that means Jesus, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is called the great exchange. We are credited by God with the perfect righteousness of Jesus, while he's credited with our sin, for which he died on the cross as our substitute. We enter the great exchange when the Holy Spirit draws us to himself, so that we trust in Jesus as our Savior and our Lord. God and sin cannot go together. Isaiah 59:2 says, your iniquities have separated you from God, from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. But God, in the great exchange, gave us Jesus' righteousness. Let's dwell on that for a moment. God, the righteous Lord of all creation, should by all rights condemn us. But because of his great love, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's ironic, in a way. The perfectly righteous God is the only one who can declare us righteous. He, the perfectly righteous one, is the only one who will never hold your unrighteousness against you if you are in Christ. Someone, that's God, someone does know all the intimate details about you, and he forgives and accepts you if you are in Christ. It would be helpful for us to follow the example of King David in Psalm 139. In that psalm, he starts out wondering if there's any place where God cannot see us, if there's any place where a person could hide from God. We might find it unsettling to have no hiding place, to be totally visible to the Creator and Lord of the universe. But in Psalm 139, by the end of the psalm, David pleads with God to search even his heart and to know David's thoughts so that there would be no grievous way in him. And that's something that we should follow that example and pray that God would show us what's in our hearts, if anything is grieving him. In conclusion, ask for God to search your heart for any grievous way in you. Confess your sins to someone close to you. And delight in God and his ways. Love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Abide in Christ. And he will never reject you or forsake you. His Spirit will strengthen you as you seek to keep your way pure. Come to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we desire to please you with our ways. Show us any grievous ways in our lives. Draw us to yourself. Strengthen us. Guide us and teach us so that we might delight in you and bring glory to your great name. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.